There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast. On the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Is this what we're going to start the show with?
Oh, yes, we'll get it.
Henry has his phone on the table, Marcus. You have to
get your phone off the table, Henry.
All right, welcome to the show. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel.
Oh, yes, we'll get about it.
What is it? What is that?
Oh, let's talk about it.
It's like if chili could speak.
No.
Yeah, and the macaroni too.
Combination of Santana and Robert Jameson. What's his name for Matchbox? Matchbox 29.
That would be Rob Thomas.
Rob Thomas. Which band was he was in? Matchbox 67. Matchbox 20.
That's right. The 20. Yeah.
Who I saw live with Everclear.
That's a hell of a concert not to go to.
Yeah, I can't believe you did that. Did you become a man that day?
And I got little sprouts on my balls. That's good, Marcus.
Firehouse opened.
Well, speaking of terror, Firehouse? No, I haven't thought about Firehouse in forever.
Is that Lighthouse? Is that the same as the song with the hanging on a mall?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that's Firehouse.
That's great.
Oh, that's the worst. Well, that's the most horrific thing we're going to talk about today. All right.
It just makes me think of Firehouse Subs. Man, I get sick every time I eat there.
You are always one degree away.
And that's a free ad for Firehouse Subs.
1 degree away from a sandwich thought. That's phenomenal. Well, speaking of horrifying things, today we're going to discuss the Bridgewater Triangle.
Well, first of all, I want to say it's so good to be back in the studio.
Yeah.
It's nice to have you back here.
I remember the seat. It still has the dents from my ass cheeks.
Yes, it does.
Which I know that it's like a memory foam. It's a memory foam chair, except
it's steel.
It's plastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a steel chair that's not supposed to bend.
No, it's so nice. Nice to feel at home.
Yes.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, don't make yourself that comfortable. Jesus. All right. Bridgewater Triangle.
Yeah. Bridgewater Triangle. It's a brand new paranormal spot. Well, it's basically brand new as of the 1970s.
Okay.
It is a triangle that is 200 miles. I don't know what the term is.
200
I'm not
square
around.
Miles.
Yeah, that is in the dead center of Massachusetts, mm-hmm. based around a central location called the Hockomock Swamp.
Mm-hmm. Hockomock.
Which is Hockomock.
Hockomock.
Hockomock. That's not Hebrew.
It's not.
No, that's Indian.
Indian. Okay.
It's from the Wampanoag tribe.
Yeah, the Munkawunka Chunka tribe. Yeah.
Well, that's
all the way from, you know, Santa Classy Montenegro. I don't know where Indians are from.
Well,
they're from here. They're from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And this is it's an incredible paranormal hotspot that has been known. A crazy amount of sightings of UFOs, Bigfoot, other cryptozoological creatures,
yeah.
The Thunderbird, gigantic snakes.
It's a real buffet, huh?
It's a real buffet. Ghosts.
Everything you want.
It's kind of amazing. And then best of all, satanic murder.
Satanic murders and regular murder. Just murder of all kinds.
Both kinds of murders. Huh? Regular
satanic
and
regular. Yeah, and diet.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so all of these events tend to take place around this swamp, and they think the swamp is the breeding ground for all this.
The swamp and Falls River Forest.
Yes, okay. And they say that there's a lot of, and that greyhound, there's a greyhound racing track that they've seen a number of ghosts. And it's really strange because it's in the middle of what is necessarily like a very habited spot, but it's kind of like Stonehenge. It's kind of like there's another place in Vermont called the Bennington Triangle, which people go disappear in all the time. There's like 10 documented disappearances that happen in Vermont. And
I mean, can't you really just make a triangle anywhere?
You can't.
Yeah. You know, I feel like these people are really overused.
Well,
I want to see a crazy rectangle.
This
sometimes.
Is how you sell a new paranormal hotspot. You got to give it a thing. You call it the Gates of Hell. You call it the Framingham Trapezoid. I don't know.
The Haunted Parallelogram. I would never go to a Haunted Parallelogram. That's awful. I want to
get mud on your shoes.
You do. I want to go to this greyhound though and bet on all the ghost dogs. That'll be amazingly fun. We should do it. We'll just get into huge fights over which ghost dog won, because there were no actual ghost dogs and you just have to claim victory first. All right. That's good.
So let's just start with some history of the area. It's kind of amazing. So I heard this on Coast to Coast. There's a new documentary that's coming out about it called The Bridgewater Triangle. Mm-hmm. The only way you could see it is that you have to pay for a ticket that is a live stream of the live show that they show the movie at. It's retarded. It's stupid.
Just as simple as that,
just download the movie. Just put it out so I can download it. But there was an interview with a man named Christopher Pittman, who is another paranormal researcher who basically helped define everything that's going on in the triangle. He categorized it out, and we're going to kind of hit you with the wave of information today.
That's great. All right, Marcus. Well, what do we want to start with first?
Well, it starts with King Philip's War way back in the 1700s. Many people say that this was the most brutal and bloody Indian war in the entire frontier
period.
Now,
this is really where, like, the evil got shat into the swamp, right? But technically, it started before that. Like, the Hockomock Swamp is known as Devil's Swamp, right? Yeah. Isn't that what it means in Click-a-Lackey, whatever the name of their
language?
Whatever is the name of their language?
The Native American.
Wampanoag.
Well, no, the Indians, they called it a place of spirits. It was the white man who named it the Devil's Swamp.
Well, absolutely.
Well, we're better with branding. Yeah. You know, that is the thing. Look at Nike, you know?
Yes. In Wampanoag, it was translated to place where spirits dwell.
Yeah. Spirit apartment building.
Yeah.
Which is another thing. It's kind of like 227, but it's just dead Indians.
Yeah. Right. That's very nice, the way that rolls off your tongue, and you get a certain joy out of saying the words dead Indian.
Well, in the course of this war, there were In the course of this war, there was an amazing amount of brutality happening on both sides. You had people being skinned. You had corpse mutilation. You had people with their arms hacked off. You had the worst shit. But at the final,
and that was just Easter weekend.
Hello,
please,
Eddie Youngman.
So at the end of the war, though, the whole war ended with the death of King Philip, which King Philip was a name that they gave, that the white men gave to
the leader of the Wampanoag
Metacomet.
Wow, yeah. They really gave him a white name.
They did.
King Philip is the whitest of all the names.
Well, it's like all the slaves we brought over and started calling them, you know, like Drysdale and Beckenshire, you know?
Tucker. Yeah. Yes.
This is my house slave, Macintosh.
He would go on to become a computer. We literally used his bones for parts of a computer.
The computer didn't work, but it was also scary to look at.
Yeah. Yes. So mission accomplished.
So Philip was finally killed by John Alderman, who was what they call a praying Indian, meaning that he was a race trader and had converted to Jesus and had hooked up with this famous Indian hunter named Captain Benjamin Church.
Now, they also, the way they found them deep inside the Hockomock Swamp because the idea was that they knew that the white man was scared of going in there. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, oh, white man never come in haunted swamp. They're stupid white man. They don't know we have barbecues in here. We have a good time in the swamp.
Right.
They don't know
this
is a vacation spot for us. And they're, oh, here they come.
And then, boom! Boom, he gets shot right in the chest.
I told you to stop playing Bad Company so loud in the boombox.
Well, it's not a party without some bad company, huh?
Well, the white man has come, for truly we are now in bad company.
All right, I'm not even going to allow
you get out of here, Anawan. You are too funny. You are too funny for me.
I mean, these are very, very funny Indian jokes. Very good.
So after King Philip was killed, his body was beheaded and dismembered. They quartered him. They picked four nearby trees they cut his body into four pieces and tied a part of his body onto four different trees. The hand was chopped off. It was given to Alderman as a trophy.
That's a cool trophy.
Yeah, and he used to do that thing at parties where he'd be like, nice to meet you, and hand it out, and it would just be the dead hand, and he'd pull it out of his sleeve, and you're like, another funny joke.
No, he actually did kind of do stuff like that. What he did is he took the hand, he preserved it in a bottle of rum, and he'd take it around to taverns, and he would allow the owners to display it in exchange for free drinks.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, there's that one, I'm sure that people took sips of this rum as well. There's that one.
Oh, the toe rum.
Toe rum, where you had to touch your lip to the dead toe, and then I guess you get more rum.
No, this is so he did all that basically to scare the population because the idea is that this was during like before America was started. They were like clearing out America, they were clearing out Native Americans so that we could build condos.
Well, this is a nice little history that you just before America was started, they were clearing out Native Americans so we could build condos. Daddy, tell me more about America.
All right, now Native Americans were these human roaches that used to live here before white people got here.
Now, Daddy, why did I get an F in my history class? I told him what you said.
It's a liberal media-run school. Drin child.
They said you were racist.
Well, by the time that this whole all of this started, most of this tribe, most of the Indians in this area had already been wiped out by smallpox. And in fact, all of these operations, it was essentially a cleanup operation. And even with their dwindled numbers, they still almost kicked the shit out of us.
Yeah, because the white people are just, we're scared in general. And so as soon as you start going like, you know, like they're going to like get in the swamp. It's scary.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
go in there because you see pictures of Hockomock Swamp, and it's true. It is a nearly untouched piece of prehistoric landscape. There's like they said that they found there. You know, another piece of history there is that a recent excavation found bodies that are rumored to be 8,000 years old. Yeah. It was a burial ground. It was a sacred place.
That's not possible.
What?
The Earth is only 6,000 years old.
Oh, Lord.
So that would be an impossibility to find an 8,000-year-old body. But
and they still find bones in this swamp all the time.
There's bones in the swamp.
There's bones in the swamp.
Yeah, so it's just a swamp that's full of people bones.
Yeah. It is a gigantic like bathtub full of spirit goop.
Yeah. All right. So
and as far as scaring the Indians go, after they killed King Philip, they put his head on a spike.
Okay.
They carried the head throughout the town, parading it, and in fact they also cut other people's heads off and they displayed the head of King Philip on the gates of a fort, and it remained there for 25 years at the very least.
Cool.
And so after all this,
that's
of
great.
Course
See, that's how I'd knock on the door. You grab the jawbone and you go dunk, 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 and go, hey, how you doing, buddy? And you're like, ah, you still got it, King, you just King like, Philip.
You encourage your friend to push his nose, and then you're like, ding dong. Ding dong.
That used to be a guy.
That was a person, yeah. Now he feels like his flesh is like rotten off the bone. That's
oh,
a really
it is. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. No, he's quite a pulled pork up there.
Well, this is going to be great.
So speaking of trophies, the biggest trophy that they took from King Philip was his wampum belt.
Now, there's a
this
lot of people.
This is not real stuff.
Yeah. This is
true.
What's
a wampum belt?
This is all true.
So Anawan, his like second in command, when King Philip was murdered, basically he kept the insurgents going, and Anawan was finally discovered and murdered, and so his wampum belt that he had that was basically the wampum belt told the story of their entire tribe.
I see.
And there's a lot of people who believe that this wampum belt disappeared, and that because it's gone, that's why this activity has been taking place in the Bridgewater Triangle.
It's a belt that continues to tell the story that is going. Do you gain weight with the history?
No. These people were skinny. No. These people didn't wear clothes. They didn't even need belts. All right, it was just like wearing a homecoming sash.
Are you Native American, Henry? Because you're describing yourself.
Yes, I wish I was. Because then I'd be at home.
That's a bacon sash.
I could live in a tent. Yeah. You know, I got feathers on my head.
You'll be like, oh, this sweat lodge is so hot. And they'll be like, it's the winter and it's freezing. You're just morbidly
it's
obese.
It's just good to get the toxins out. But no,
you're
so
the only one sweating.
But during the making, it was a really fun story that was during the making of the Bridgewater Triangle. They were talking to this man named Joseph DeBondre, I believe. Let me get his name correct. Joseph DeAndrade, that he basically they were speaking with Joseph DeAndrade, who like heads up this paranormal research center in Massachusetts that's been studying the Bridgewater Triangle, and they were talking about the wampum belt, and he was just like, yeah, there's like some talk that maybe if this wampum belt is returned to the Bridgewater Triangle, all the activity will stop here, and then the whole power of the set shut off, like all the lights blew out. And so they're like, okay, they replace all the batteries, and then they started the interview again, and he's just like, so maybe we should be working on finding that wampum belt and bringing it back to this triangle, as if he was talking to Anawan, and the lights went back out again.
Yeah.
And like right after they changed batteries. It's a cool thing.
It
don't
is a cool thing. No, I'm not looking at you like it's not real. I'm not even suspecting that it's not real.
I mean, there's no way that this was a micro budget like documentary being made by a bunch of halfwits.
I mean, I kind of want to see the Energizer Bunny, like, you know, drum his way past the set.
The only problem is that the belt has long been lost. They say it was lost at sea. They were sending it back over to the
like most
King
of, my
of England at the time.
As soon as I bust that belt, I just toss it in the ocean.
And they say that this theory is why there's so many instances of depression, insanity, suicide, murder, tragic car incidents, drownings, all kinds of horrible things, very real life horrible things happen in this area, but we're not going to get to those just yet.
No, those are the good ones.
That is the juicy.
Let's even just begin where. So this place is a hot spot for every single thing we cover.
Right.
Everything that we cover, it appears in the Bridgewater Triangle. It's kind of amazing. Mm. So I'll start with. So UFOs. If you've listened to this podcast long enough, I mean, you probably have a personality issue, but you also know by now that what we've learned is that in spots like this, there's many kinds of activity. Where there's elves, there's UFOs. Where there's Stonehenge, there's UFOs. Where there's the pyramids with the gigantic galactic batteries built by aliens, you're going to see UFOs, of course, because they're going to be charging the shit there. Right, you know what I mean? Right. That's where the wireless energy comes from. You got sound technology. There's a lot of stuff.
There's a whole bunch of real things out there.
But the first documented UFO sighting of the Bridgewater Triangle took place on May 10th, 1760. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, oftentimes they said they saw a sphere of fire, which you have a lot in the Bridgewater Triangle, which again, I mean, they talk a lot about, there is the truth of swamp gas because there's a lot of sediment and dead bodies that are all in the bottom of the Hockomock Swamp.
The swamp gas is a gas that makes you trip balls, basically.
Either makes you trip balls or it ignites. Lights in the air because static electricity in the clouds. Right. Like in the beginning of storms, basically farts will come out of the swamp. And then it will just set on fire in the night. And someone will be like, oh, it was an alien.
Right.
Yeah. And they're just stupid.
Or
it's real. Or it's an alien. So in 1760.
Who are we to judge?
We're not judging type people.
I ain't no Judge Judy.
That's right. Until we become Judge Judy, then we can't judge.
So according to historical records, a UFO emitted light bright enough to cast a shadow in the bright sunlight. The sound made by the object, oddly enough, was heard sooner at the middle of the course than it was at the beginning.
Isn't that something?
That's a 1760 UFO sighting. But yeah, I feel like a lot of those, because they'll be like, I feel like in the 1760s, there were even more blasé about seeing UFOs, because they were just like, it's God's fingernail. some retarded, just some dumb answer. But it's been happening forever and ever. There is two undertakers were driving a cottage from West Bridgewater in 1908 to the center of Bridgewater when the incident occurred. Shortly after 3 a.m., they described the object as looking like an unusually strong lantern, about 2.5 feet in diameter, illuminating a large object resembling a balloon bag. They watched it for at least 40 minutes, which is a long time to watch a balloon bag.
It is a long time.
What is a balloon bag? Balloon, right?
I just want to, see the guy who was talking to his wife, and he's like, you wouldn't believe it, honey. I put a lantern on a stick, and now it's way up there in the sky, and it's illuminating a larger area than we've ever illuminated before.
And these undertakers are freaking out.
People are going crazy. They think it's an alien.
By the way, I Googled balloon bag, and apparently it's a bag to carry balloons.
Oh. Not just a clever name.
Perfectly put together.
That's great. So this is the first site in 1760. We got a couple of undertakers.
That was 1760, and then, this was 1908. This is 1908. A couple of undertakers saw this. They watched it for 70 minutes. Though one newspaper reported that all of the balloons in which ascensions are made in this state were accounted for.
Because this is a time where people
were counting balloons in the sky, because hot air balloons was like taking the train. Dangerous way to get from place to place, because you're just in a basket with some drunk shooting flames into a giant balloon. That's, to me, is really scary.
That is insane.
And we already trust the people that we trust to drive our trains, which are, largely, the recently hospitalized.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there's a lot of trust.
Undereducated and overtired. That's really the problem.
So it really started bursting in the 1960s. Of course, UFOs were, the whole country was UFO crazy, especially after Roswell. And then this was also the same time as Mothman.
War of the Worlds was coming out and things like this. Radio was really
playing. That was in the 1930s.
Yeah.
That's a long before
long
this.
Long before. This has been, this is the 50s is in the sun.
You just kind of look at all history like a big drunk blur. You just think that it is
sort of a drunken painting. But no, I mean, in the grand scheme of time, Henry.
It's true.
Yes. I would not say that 20 years is a very long amount of it.
It's true. No, so there's just so many, there are many, many UFO sightings, but here's another one. Here's a bunch in a row. Two huge UFOs were seen landing near Route 44 in Tonton in December 1976. Mm. And we'll learn about Tonton.
We'll get to Tonton later.
Crazy, insane asylum that was totally haunted.
I don't believe it.
I know, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. They're so peaceful.
Yeah.
March 23rd, 1979, two newsmen from WHDH saw an object shaped like a home plate on a baseball diamond emit a mysterious green substance at the junction of Routes 24 and 106, also in Tonton. In January 1991, a green flying disc was seen in Bridgewater moving slowly and silently in an altitude of about 50 feet, illuminating a large area with a powerful spotlight. You see this over and over again. A lot of times, which you hear a lot in UFO sightings, where they saw two objects go up in the sky, merge together, shoot back apart, spit droplets of light out of themselves and then shoot up into the sky. And like, there's a lot, they said that, like, you know, people seeing like red lights doing geometrical patterns, you know, just kind of doing crazy shit. Yeah. And just people like, planes don't move like that. Like, they all say, I mean, you don't know. You don't know how planes move.
But yeah. Well, we know how planes move.
You see, but you know, what about a special plane?
Yeah, what about like a.
That's a UFO.
That's true. That is actually true.
Yeah.
We're talking about government special planes, though.
Government?
Government.
Yeah.
Government.
Oh, government.
No, government.
Government.
Because that's the secret government that they don't want us to know about. It's
government.
We all say shadow government, but the government calls it the government.
Government, yeah.
Because they're like making the rules that the rule players have to follow. Yeah, 20-year-old George LaCay saw a UFO in his hometown, Bridgewater. According to local newspaper, the Sunday Enterprise, LaCay saw a distant red light. He stated, it was moving all around. It was moving in shapes. Planes don't move.
He makes a good point.
That's all they do.
That's
just, so, you know, there's nothing specific. No one got raped, it seems like.
No, it didn't look
no
like,
aliens finger popping anybody.
Well, and it's not. It never happened.
You know, that's the evidence we're looking for.
Yeah,
countless UFO sightings. It's a hotspot for it. And the other thing it's a major hotspot for is ye olde Bigfoot, also known as the Boston Ape Dickhead. I don't know what the actual term is.
The Boston Ape Dickhead.
I've heard him described that way. I'm really afraid that a lot of these sightings were just Ed Larson from when we were doing shows in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just wandering over there. Because it's always like looking over and just like, I saw a bear man. And he was sucking on a natty light and talking about all the Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
It's like Ed Larson. It's like he couldn't have been a man because he was too much bear to be a man.
Well, this does seem like an area where a Sasquatch would hang out, though. These swamplands, very
I guess so.
Woody, very... many places to hide.
Things
like
very, it's ancient and deep, and it's very hard to get through.
And here's a similarity I've noticed as far as swamp apes goes, that a lot of swamp apes, much like the swamp apes in Florida, the smell of a skunk accompanies
them. Yeah, they're all
real
stinky.
That's what they all say. The swamp apes are stinky apes.
Yeah,
the stinkiest of all the apes.
This has been happening over and over. In 1970, many people saw a hairy 7-foot-tall monster, Ben Kissel.
Fun. That's a funny little joke there.
He's not hairy.
I'm not that hairy. Yeah, that's the problem.
Sometimes standing upright, but sometimes running off on four legs. Footprints were found in the mud, and for 2 days and nights, Bridgewater Police and Massachusetts State Police with attack dogs stage a hunt for a giant bear, even though bears have been extinct in the area for a long time, because it killed them all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this would be the time to go commit some petty crimes. You know, local law enforcement are looking for a fucking skunk ape. You know, this is when you rob the
grocery
store.
Many people, many years ago, hunting a man in 1978 shot an animal that looked like a bear. After the shot, the boy and his uncle heard a cry that seemed half animal and half human, like, oh.
Yeah, that's
like,
about right.
Oh, ow.
Ouch.
Ow.
Right. We shot a man, dog, bear.
Is that a man, dog, bear?
Yeah, you never know.
And they found him. They found bloody hair out in this. One of my favorite sightings was two police officers. I'm just trying to find the year for this. Two police officers, I believe it was in 1971, were sitting in their car outside of the Hockomock Swamp doing paperwork. And literally, they felt the whole car.
Paperwork.
Mm-hmm. They were blowing each other.
They were blowing each other, smoking joints, drinking whiskey.
It was 1971.
Exactly.
I mean, it was all just about being around, having a good time.
What's the point of having these mustaches if we don't blow each other?
But they literally felt the whole car lift up. Boom, 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 boom. They turn around and they saw just an animal just like look at him and go like, and then just like run back into the forest. You know, they're like, these damn skunk ape bears are playing around with our police. We're going to give them a ticket.
And
I can't do a Boston accent. That's why I keep sliding back into the South.
Boston. These ape bears, they run around. Why they're going to give them a ticket?
That's just a bad Ted Kennedy. That's awful. Holy Lord.
Oh, yeah, come here. There, Bigfoot, he comes and he plays with my police car. I'm gonna give him a summons.
Yeah, is that good Boston?
No, it's terrible.
Am I not going to be in Goodwill Hunting 9?
No. I don't even think they're going to make it. They're not going to go past 7. Don't worry about it. You're going to be just fine. Yeah, so this Sasquatch shook up their car a little bit, which seems like the one thing about the Sasquatch, he just seems to be a friendly giant, doesn't he?
He really does.
There's been no reported death.
What they say a lot of times is with Bigfoot, it's like there's another story of Bigfoot stealing a guy's fish.
That's fun.
Yeah, the guy, he like found a fish, he looked up, he said something kept following me and I knew it was big.
So I took the boat down a small creek to a dry hill and kept moving. That was Joe Baker. You know, it's like, and then Joe Baker, it's like, saw it. He finally said, it was a shadowy hair-covered giant. I knew it wasn't a human because when I passed by me, I could smell it. Smelled like a skunk. Musty and dirty. Like it lived in the dirt.
Busty and nutty? Is that what he said?
Musty and dirty.
Oh, I see.
Nutty.
I don't. I thought I heard busty and nutty, but maybe I just haven't jacked off in a while.
That's all you want to hear.
Tell me more about busty and nutty things.
If you saw that in an About Me on OkCupid, you'd be like, you, Amanda, are going to be my wife.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of other cryptozoological sightings, including giant birds, thunderbirds flapping around.
Now, what's this thunderbird all about?
It's just a big bird.
It's just a huge bird. Is it spitfire or anything like that?
No, some people say that they could be pterodactyls. Their wingspans are about 8 to 12 feet long. Okay. And it could be something like much like the Loch Ness Monster.
Like an ancient bird.
And as we all know, the birds did descend from the dinosaurs.
Yeah, so it's quite possible. There are big birds.
Yeah, a condor is quite large.
You know,
a condor is
seen,
very big, yeah.
Something could have gotten caught there, you know. There's the sightings of watching thunderbirds fight each other in the sky, and then there was
Are there any cryptozoologists that camp out there on a regular basis? I mean, this seems like
they did this documentary.
Okay.
And they said they saw nothing.
Okay, good.
You know, but it's just hard. They hide. Yeah. You know, they can sense cameras. And I mean, so they're like, no.
The fact that they saw nothing proves that they exist. I mean, I think we all know that. There's no doubt about it.
And then there's also stories of giant red-eyed dogs. There's a story of, in the 1970s, again, of a giant red-eyed dog spotting killing horses outside of a farm. This is, again, all of this stuff is pretty much directly in the center of this triangle.
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff that happens, like, because they, you know, again, everyone always argues about what the actual boundaries of the triangle is, but it's pretty much all, like, right around the Hockomock Swamp.
Right.
It's, you see this shit constantly. Giant snakes. It's just strange. There's a lot of weird things going on, like weird ape creatures. There's like weird, they were talking about another weird creature called the Puckmudgie
The Puckwudgie.
You're messing up all these easy to say names, Henry. What's wrong with you?
Come on, cryptozoological Puckwudgie. What's hard about this?
And Puckwudgie is a 2 foot tall Indian man, like Indian in the Cupboard.
It's like Indian in the Cupboard.
Yeah. What they do is they're mischievous little men that run around and they'll make you commit suicide and they're like, fuck with your, like, because they're talking about this number of unexplained suicides in the Hockomock Swamp. There's this ridge where they also see this ghost woman there all the time.
Dude, has anybody seen Captain, what is it? It's not Captain Phillips, General Phillips.
General Phillips?
What's this Phil guy?
King Philip.
Yeah. Has anybody seen him?
No, he's not around. They see Anawan.
Okay.
Because there's a place called Anawan Rock that he supposedly haunts.
Oh, okay.
And there's another place called Dighton Rock.
Yeah. Dighton Rock is particularly interesting because it's...
Let me finish Puckwudgie and then we'll go into Dighton Rock, which is... There's so much shit
in
the Bridgewater Triangle.
And we haven't even gotten to the satanic murders
which is the good stuff.
Yeah.
That's the creamy. It's always the creamy center of the Bridgewater Triangle.
It's good to start with a nice 40 minutes of not the good stuff. Yeah. And then we'll squeeze in the good stuff in the final 3 minutes.
No, it's just crazy that it all happened in one spot. The Puckwudgie would go around and they go like, hey, you got big tits? And they're like, what'd you say? And they go, hee, 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 and he like runs behind the cows. I was watching this documentary thing of like independent ghost hunters like searching for Puckwudgies. And it was just this woman with no teeth smoking a cigarette. She's like, that damn Puckwudgie came up. He tugged on my dress. Ran behind the house all giggling like it's the funniest joke he ever did. I just think that he was a child. I just think it was just a little boy
with a big nose and big fingers.
Big ears.
Smooth gray skin.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of the Puckwudgies are described as smooth and gray. Mm-hmm. There was one man who said that he saw a 4 foot tall creature with a pot belly, big eyes, and the face of a chipmunk.
Oh, that's kind of adorable. A little Danny DeVito type.
You see, it sounds adorable in description. It would be adorable in a cartoon, but in real life, that's terrifying. Thing just going like...
hey, how you doing, hey?
They're just joking around, though, lifting up skirts and things
hey
like
there,
that.
Hey there, let me ask, am I the tiniest Indian you've ever seen?
You know
I gotta be going, that's my time.
It was insane. Yeah, you are the tidiest. And he's gone. All right. I couldn't even answer.
He's puckwudgies.
Puckwudgies.
I feel like we could do a whole episode on puckwudgies because there are a lot of people that say that puckwudgies are all over the country, but we see that it's just another part of the. It also reminds me of melonheads.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a good thing to call a Native American to get him mad.
No, that's not. Don't never call a Native American a melonhead.
No, Jesus. A puckwudgie.
No.
Oh, a puckwudgie.
Get out of here, you thieving puckwudgie. Jeez.
I don't even know why it's offensive, but I have to say that it is.
I'm a lawyer.
Well, that's the problem. What are these puckwudgies, though, they do seem similar to trolls and elves and things like that.
No, again, gnomes. Another weird mystical story. There's a really, I guess I could read the folklore of where they come from, but it's long Native
American. Maybe we'll dedicate a whole episode to puckwudgies.
Yeah, we'll get back to puckwudgies and even Native American folklore. I'm just
you keep stepping into another area of the paranormal that the Bridgewater Triangle has.
And there's also Dighton Rock, which is covered in petroglyphs. Some people say that what is written on this rock could be as far back as thousands of years ago, like Portuguese explorers, Chinese explorers.
There's a big conspiracy theory that the Chinese found America first.
Yeah.
And I guess set off fireworks here. I don't know what they did here.
Yes. Maybe they just didn't want to commit genocide. Yeah. Maybe they landed here and they were like,
these people are living here. We can't live here.
We're going to go.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to our beautiful continent. Yeah.
So now we're at the creamy center.
What did you have for lunch, by the way? What did you have for lunch?
Matha cakes. I had cakes made from matha and torito.
Ah.
Continue on from me.
Wonderful question, Ben. I'm glad we stopped the entire show and derailed the flow of everything to ask Henry what he had for lunch.
These are always compelling questions that always elicit quite emotional answers from Henry.
Let's get to this creamy vanilla center.
Yes.
Murders of the bear. Now we get into the real life shit. We get into murders. We get into satanic cults. We get into insane asylums. We get into prisons. Uh-oh. There is so much. Let's just start.
He's sweating. Marcus is sweating.
He is.
Visibly sweating.
So just a few of like the recent crimes that's been in Bridgewater. One woman was drugged, restrained with wire, and imprisoned in her own home for a month before being rescued in the span of
Did she deserve it?
I mean, you know, she probably did.
Pull it back, Henry. You're really just fucking going for the gut on this one.
It could be kind of, maybe, did a puckwudgie save her, though? That would be adorable if a group of puckwudgies were getting out of here.
I save you, but now you come with me to this ledge. Come with me to the ledge. I kick you over the ledge. Ah, puckwudgie wins again.
Oh, man. These puckwudgies are becoming quite the villains here.
In the span of 2 weeks, and all of this was just last year, by the way.
This was last year?
All of these recent crimes, these are all last shit that happened last year. In the span of 2 weeks, there were two guys in two separate incidents that tried doing suicide by cop. There was a bomb threat called into the high school. There was a model citizen who was exposed as a serial rapist who had been on the loose for years. He was disguised.
Leave my Cheerios alone.
Don't know what that means, Henry.
Serial rapist.
No, you did not just do that.
You leave my Frosted Flakes alone.
Oh, the whole podcast is done.
Yeah, what who are you, Dennis Rader?
You leave
BTK humor.
You leave my oatmeal alone, you rapist.
That is the worst joke in the history of podcasts. This is amazing. Don't edit that out. That has to stay in.
No, that's staying. Of course it's staying.
It's in the flow now.
All right.
This guy, he was a state trooper that he would tell the people, listen, you're in trouble. You're under arrest. You better get into my car right now. Ugh. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, listeners out there,
that's right.
Unless he shows you a badge and unless you know that he is a cop, do not get in his car.
Yeah,
do not go anywhere with him.
The car has to have lights.
It has to be a police car. They're never driving a Pontiac, so just never get into one. I promise.
So that's the recent crime. Let's go back to 1874. Ooh. There's been brutal murders happening, and in fact, there's a lot of murders that happen within families.
And a lot of bludgeonings.
A lot of
people getting their head bashed open with hammers and rocks.
That makes sense. I mean, there's not a lot of weapons back in the day that are very effective. I mean, nothing's more effective
knives
than
knives and guns. It's been around for hundreds of years.
I mean, there was a...
You know, but come on.
In this murder, they used a railroad spike.
That's a perfect
real sharp railroad spike. Yeah. They found there was three people that were murdered. It was two brothers and a housekeeper. And the person that they eventually murdered was William E. Sturtevant. Sturtevant, the actual nephew of the victims. And here's an here's how he was actually caught. When he was the murder suspect number one, and he was ratted out by a parrot.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say
again.
Pugwudgie.
No, the Pugwudgie was just next to the parrot going like, hey, you going to talk about it? You better.
He slowly sounds like, what is it, Zabulba? From that terrible.
Hey, you want this live, boy? Yeah. I get you,
Star Wars. Yeah.
So the parrot was named Captain Kidd.
Oh, my goodness.
And they brought the parrot in, and the parrot started screaming, murderer, murderer, and then made the sound of a death rattle.
People think pit bulls will turn on you.
Parrots.
Not like a parrot.
The last episode of the Roundtip, we talked about a parrot that fucking ratted on a drunk driver.
He's drunk.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's like, come on, parrot. Mind your own fucking business.
Yeah. Of course.
You're lucky we didn't make you an hors d'oeuvre yesterday, you fucking gross parrot.
Dumb parrot.
And of course, Sturtevant, being browbeaten by the parrot over and over again, confessed to the crime.
It's just the desperate beating of that horrible parrot.
I would love to see a parrot detective. Oh, you're going to talk. You're going to talk indeed.
He's got a terrible bedside manner.
Yeah.
Your son is dead. Your son is dead.
I mean, that would just be so aggravating. I mean, that's the irony about the parrot is the more you talk to it, the more words it learns.
Yeah.
And then it can just use them against you.
Yeah. Stop talking to a parrot.
Yeah, just shut up. Treat it like an actual detective. Don't say anything to him.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So 1909, a few years later, Mariano Gennaro entered the bedroom where his wife lay in bed.
So what, is he English? Is he English? Is he Irish?
They all
Mariano Gennaro?
Jesus Christ.
Mariano, he had just bathed, shaved, and dressed in his finest clothes.
Every 6 months, an Italian must bathe and shave.
Oh, is that right?
So he walked up to his wife, who was lying in bed next to their infant son, and he said, "This is the last of you and me. We've got to die." And then he shot her in the head.
But how did it really sound, Marcus?
This is the last.
No, I thought it was me. No. Oh, this is the last of you and me.
This is the last of you and me. We have got to die.
They're not always cooking ravioli and rigatoni, guys.
Vita is a spicy murder.
This has been the worst show for accents I have ever heard.
Yeah, but it's the most fun.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure.
See, feel free to be inaccurate. That's my look. The more inaccurate I am, the more free I feel.
Right, right. Well, I'm happy you give yourself that leeway, Henry, because it's very important for you to give yourself.
So in 1879, a fight over potatoes.
Every time,
led to the massacre of Henry Gunn at the hand of his own son, Justin, who attacked his father with both a screwdriver and a hatchet.
Very cool.
After his father scolded him over his son's error of putting wet tomatoes in the root cellar.
This is the problem.
But don't put wet potatoes
How
in the root cellar.
Do you have to tell somebody?
They spud out. They start getting spuds all over them. Mold grows.
Yeah, that kid's going to ruin the whole root cellar.
That's amazing. Yeah. I hate this damn kid.
Yeah, fuck that kid.
That's why you don't want to. I'm not having kids. You know? I'm going to put lean cuisines in the refrigerator.
My big thing is, if I'm going to have kids, definitely not having a root cellar.
Definitely not.
Never a root cellar.
Frozen pizzas and the goddamn crisper. You know? That's the modern day equivalent.
So one of the most recent murders, this one was in 2002, George Nardi, he lived with his...
Nardi.
These are not people.
Hey, nice to meet you. Name's Joe Nardi.
You know, we're not going to be friends.
Well, you know, it's not an uncommon response.
So he lived with his mother, Deborah Bouchard. He killed her in a fit of rage.
That's French for fat butt.
Yes. Deborah Fat Butt just didn't translate very well.
It's
over
Bouchard.
Here in the States, so it's Bouchard, yes.
He killed her in a fit of rage when she refused to make him dinner that night.
A lot of food-related murders.
Food-related murders.
I mean, I'll do one right now. I've almost been on a food-related murder tangent. 9 times a week.
Yeah. That's right.
It's horrible to live with. So after he killed his mother, he immediately calls up his brother and leaves a voicemail. And all he says is, he's just laughing insanely. And he says, "You're not going to be able to spend Christmas with mom this year."
that is a funny joke. That's a classic joke.
I just want to have one opportunity in my life to maniacally laugh like that. Well, just being like, "See you next summer." When I return on vacation.
Yes. No one knows why he laughed that way. You could just do that whenever you leave a room. Yeah.
And, of course, he lived with his mother's corpse for 2 weeks.
Every time.
Oh,
every
really?
Time. It's just nice to have her around. I miss my mom. You know, and then you feel bad immediately, and then the whole time you're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, mommy, and you keep putting aprons on her and, like, you know, I'm playing with her face and stuff like that.
Well, you never know what's going to wake her up. You know, that's the whole thing.
Wake up, mommy.
Yeah, put her makeup on.
Does this wake
on.
You up, mommy? And then stick your finger up in there.
In vagina. Where? Oh, in her vagina.
In her vagina.
In your mother's.
That's more Gary Ridgway, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh. That's good hint. Good hint.
And then, this is also last year, authorities found what they said appeared to be partial human remains found in a burning barrel outside of Bridgewater State Correctional
Facility.
Now,
all of this stuff is happening inside. Now, this is just regular murder.
Yeah.
What about satanic murder?
Ooh.
Because it goes also, like, we didn't really touch on ghosts. There's other ghost activity that's there's a white lady that's seen on a ridge. A white dressed lady, and also probably white of skin, because she's a ghost. So she was standing up on a ledge, and they see her all the time. That's right outside of Hockomock Swamp. There's also this person known as the Red-Headed Hitchhiker, which is a red-headed boy that sits on the side of the road. You pick him up, and it's like you hear the story often.
Oh, he's
of
a man
hitchhiker.
With a beard.
It's
oh,
a man, but no, there's a bunch of different stories. It's like redheaded.
Huh.
There's like different time periods that he appears, and he's dressed in different styles of clothing.
Mm.
You'll hear this hitchhiker ghost story all the time of like, you know, "Drop me over here. This is my home." It's like normally a girl, and she's like, "Drop you off."
Prom
and then
night.
She drops. Yeah, and it's prom night. She's been dead for 7 years, you know. But this redheaded dude.
"But I thought I finally had a date to prom."
You'll never have a date to prom, and it's because you have braces.
Oh, man. You probably should get rid of those braces, though.
All cool guys have crooked, despicable teeth.
That's right. Get food stuck in them.
Yeah, well, I guess I better go get my pliers.
Oh, my goodness. Gummy Jones.
Red-headed hitchhiker would literally, again, it's what we're seeing often in this area is that they'll pick up the red-headed hitchhiker and he'll sit and won't respond to you, and you'll be driving and he won't respond to you, and then he'll turn to you and go, and then disappear.
Like a jump scare?
Yeah.
Like he's just waiting it out, like he's the director for Paranormal Activity?
Yeah, he's like Large Marge, but in the passenger seat.
But in the passenger seat.
I see.
Yeah. No, but this is, so again, this is all happening in Bridgewater over the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But the concentration of satanic murders and the majority of the most gruesome murders, or at least where the bodies are found, that is in Falls River State Forest. Now, some people have a theory that, of course, Falls River State Forest is at the middle of some sort of vortex, some sort of evil place, but most people believe that it is because it is near many major metropolitan areas, and it's very secluded, and it's a huge, it's I think the biggest state park in Massachusetts.
Kind of like what we have in Long Island, which is either a serial killer, it's either a serial killer at work, or it's just everybody knows that's where you go to dump bodies.
Now you gotta go down to the human dump. Veronica off at the human dump before you got home?
But the best part, you know, they got a Dunkin' Donuts over there. No Indians. I love going to that place. And you go over there, you got Geno's. You got to hit Geno's. You got to hit Domino's. You got to hit Benito's. It's all over there.
Isn't that something? A lot of O's there, huh? I mean, if you're a kid, this is the place to go do a satanic ritual, though, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. This is where to
it's
go.
It's got the history.
Yeah,
it's like you go to Nashville to do country music.
That's right.
So the biggest, the most brutal satanic murder of them all was the perpetrator, his name was Carl Drew, or as I'll get to in a second, the supposed perpetrator. He was a pimp and self-proclaimed devil worshiper.
Hell yeah.
And these people made the distinction. They did not say that they were Satanists. They said they were devil worshippers.
Okay, and what's the difference?
Satanists believe that that's the elevated atheism. That's the funny way of saying you're an atheist. You also believe in, like, I have my own territory. I protect my own territory. I also respect that you have territory. And it's an individualist mentality where devil worshipping is like the idea. It's like the they want to go to a big, they want to summon the devil, and they think that he's a monster that you can conjure.
So if you're going to play the board game Risk, don't play with Satanists because everyone's just going to hang out.
Yeah.
Your land is your land, my land is my land. Yes. But you play with some devil worshippers and war happens.
I think Satanists will still just play Risk. It's just a game. It's a game.
It is a game, but it's very real.
There's
too.
Rules of the game. You
well,
play the game.
We're about to go to another war here, so. You know, let's not get into all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, this is not Abe Lincoln's podcast or whatever your fucking, your other political aware one.
Mm. Uh-huh. So Drew was on the trial for the February 1980 murder of Karen Marsden, a Fall River prostitute whose skull and other remains were found in the wooded area of Westport in April of the same year. Mm-hmm. While he was on trial for Marsden's murder, he was also under indictment for the October 79 killing of Doreen Levesque. This guy was said to have killed three women. Prosecutors, they claim that Drew was called himself the son of Satan.
Cool.
And he killed the second girl because she was present at the murder of the first girl.
Oh, yeah, now, you got to turn around. You know, you just can't see that. You got to save your eyes, you know?
Yeah. I go, and you go, la, 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 la. Every time I see something that looks vaguely like a crime, I just wrap my head in a scarf.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I didn't see nothing, you know?
So the star witness of the whole thing, her name was Robin Murphy. She was an 18-year-old prostitute. She made a deal with the prosecution in exchange for her testimony. She would gain immunity from any and all crimes related to the Carl Drew case, which will prove to be very fucking intelligent later on. She said that she killed Marsden and was possessed by Satan when she murdered the young woman. So with Carl Drew, they were going for more of a Manson defense.
Okay.
And that the girl wasn't, I mean, which unlike Manson, they did not hold the girl responsible for
the murder. Yeah, basically saying that, that he ordered her to murder him, but he didn't do anything himself.
Yeah. And so at the trial, Murphy said that she, Drew, and two others had driven to this girl to the wooded area of Westport. They got out of the car, and Murphy started dragging Marsden through the woods by her throat and hair, being very rough with the woman. She also told Marsden to give Murphy a ring she was wearing, but she said, no, I'm not giving it away. So Drew took her hand and cut her fucking finger off.
Got to get that ring.
Got to get that ring.
Just give the guy the ring.
Every kiss begins with K.
You know? Every kiss begins with cutting off your finger to get that ring to then give to the lady that you love.
So he then after that, she started screaming to God so that God will punish you. Marsden or Drew gets angry, grabs her by the hair, and just starts whipping her head on the ground until her throat, she hears a crack, her neck breaks. Drew handed her the knife. She cut the girl's throat. And here's what the prosecutor said. Prosecuting attorney said, like, he says, and what did you do? She responded, cut her throat. And then after that, Drew tore her head from her body. She said that he just yanked it and then kicked the head off into the woods.
Ah, they should have put it on a spike like that Mr. Phil character.
Yeah. Did he bend it like Beckham?
Go! Just a Spanish announcer just yells,
go!
How long has that guy been sitting up there?
So after,
25 years!
And so after he pulls the head off, he carves an X in the victim's chest.
Okay.
And then grabs blood, walks up to the girl who's testifying, and draws an X on her forehead while he was talking in some forgotten language that she had no idea what he was saying.
Maybe he goes gobbledygook?
Gibberish?
Something like
probably. And of course she talked about seances that they had, that he would use the same weird speech. She said that she attended 10 cult meetings, and of which two of those cult meetings, people were killed. And he said, she said the killing of Doreen Levesque was an offering of the soul of Satan, and so was the killing of Miss Marsden.
Now, there's also a story of a satanic cult being blamed on a bunch of cattle mutilations in the all throughout the Bridgewater area, where they found these cattle all cut up and basically like displayed out, and kind of not like aliens, because aliens, they're always like their anuses are cored out and their faces are like laser cut out and their eyes are laser cut out.
Anuses.
Yeah.
For a moment, I thought there was like part of the eye for a cow. I was like, anus. I never heard. I was like, anuses.
Oh, he's being an asshole.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you were just thinking like, boy, Henry's so smart.
Yeah. Is that by the retina or the...
Never.
He knows all these things.
Never.
But they do guide you out.
That's satanic. And then Tauntaun State Hospital, right? What's the name of that?
There's one more pretty brutal murder.
All right, let's do it.
That some say is linked to this actual crime. Because Drew, he maintains that he didn't commit any of these murders. And in fact, it was the girl who testified against him. And there's another investigator that worked on a lot of these satanic cases. And he believes that the girl was the perpetrator of the murders as well.
Yeah, and he was just kind of a part of it, and he showed up, and he was just like, oh, it's hot, because he thought that she was a hot Satan chick, but then they ended up being actual Satan chick.
I mean, Patsy Cline was right. It is difficult to be a lady unless you're on charges for murder, because then you just immediately get off. They're always like, girl, do you not want to do it? Do you just want to testify against the guy, even though you've admitted to killing three?
I'd actually really like that, so thanks.
Yeah. Oh, you're so cute.
And there was another undercover cop that said that he had gone to a Satanist meeting in an apartment in Falls River, and that both Drew and Murphy were there. He said there were strange chants, Hail Satan announcements.
Yeah.
When Satan was supposed to enter
was
the room.
Was there dip?
I'm sure there was dip.
But who brings it? You know, who's just like, oh, guys, I brought my artichoke dip, you know?
Yeah.
Hail Satan.
I would love to see Rodney forget the dip. And be like, oh, no, I've always
cut his balls off. It's like, ah,
you're the dip now.
So this other murder was this girl, Mary Lou Aruda. She was a 15-year-old cheerleader. She was found tied to a tree, badly decomposed. She had been there about 2 months. And this the guy that
did they have a pinata party?
They did not have a pinata party.
I'm not
party.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't say.
That's cool when you cut open a girl, you tie a girl to a ceiling, and you cut her open looking for candy, and they're like, oh, there's no candy in here, just organs.
Yeah, there's never organs, candy in the little girl.
Yeah.
No. And then you've been in a relationship with a girl for about 7 years. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, haven't gotten to that pinata party yet.
No, not yet. Not yet.
There is a lot of instances of people being tied to trees in Falls River State Forest.
There's a lot of trees. It's a forest.
Yeah, but that you don't see that a lot in other places. Like, you don't hear about that a lot. Like, that seems, I mean, it's not exclusive to this place, but it definitely shows up enough where it is.
But it's like how they call
looking at
sandwiches hoagies over there. You know what I mean? They call subs hoagies. So, you know, they tie people to trees over there. It's Boston. When in Boston,
eat a hoagie and tie a chick to a tree. Is that right?
And this guy who was accused of these murders, he also maintained that he was being set up by a satanic cult. And here's where it gets interesting when you start getting into the satanic elitism of Massachusetts, is that he had requested that there were certain files be made public about satanic ritual abuse, because he was tried 4 different times for this murder. But the Mosin judge, who was also his trial judge, denied his motion to release these records.
So you're saying he's a Satanist, and that's why it's not, because there was no evidence. That, you know, there was no group photo of the satanic cult. There was no, like, the members charter. There was no newsletter. So he just got let off because there was no evidence. It's because he's a Satanist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the judge
that's
is a
true.
Satanist.
Then that's real. Yeah.
The judge is a
the
Satanist.
Judge is a judge sa- is it's a all Satanist. The Kennedys are doing this.
Yeah. We all know that the judges and the higher ups in the higher echelons of government are all part of a Satanist conspiracy, otherwise known as the elitist satanic complex, which we'll get to even deeper
in another episode.
It's
also known as the government.
The government.
And there's all sorts of other satanic stuff. Like, they find skulls out there. They find 666s painted on trees.
That's just kids being having fun, though.
Yeah. It just seems like kids having fun.
But it's all concentrated in the same area. There is that sort of debate. Is it the area, or is it like the chicken and egg scenario? Is that like, does the reputation help, like, make, like, people come to commit crimes there? And then again, we were talking about the expectant reality, where you show up and you expect to see stuff because you know it's haunted, you know it's an evil place, and it has this really weird history. I don't know.
Absolutely. I mean,
I feel
you know,
there's
you gotta,
something to it. Obviously, people are seeing something.
And there's
like, over and over again.
It's like you play football in a football stadium, you know? So you'd be like, there's always football going on, because it's like they built a stadium for football.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they built these woods for demonic
possession. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although there is some argument to be made for putting negative energy out there.
I believe definitely. In that entirely. Yeah, yeah.
Especially since the Bridgewater Triangle is home to a maximum security prison, a prison for the criminally insane.
Which also got wrapped in satanic practices,
yeah, well,
right?
Tauntaun State Hospital is completely different from the Institute for the Criminally Insane.
Which I love Tauntaun, that they even say that. I've never seen a place that's called an Institute for the Criminally Insane anymore.
It's
I think
amazing,
it's great.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
I'd love to be in a place wonderful. Like that.
They got they should just change the whole trajectory and just put a theme park there, like a water park. Maybe like even it out. It does seem like they're just throwing every single negative cliche thing about the world that we live in. Just in this triangle.
Yeah.
Just put it there.
Yeah, Tauntaun State Hospital, originally known as the State Lunatic Asylum. It's still there. It's still operating.
Also, formerly known as the Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs Organized Pen.
That's the Bongo Bongo House. Yeah.
Why is it called the Bongo Bongo House? Because everybody in there is Bongo Bongo.
Do you guys ever think we should change the name? Because it just leads to people being very insensitive about the medical conditions, about our mentally insane
Fuck
people.
Fuck you, Jermaine.
All right.
So the place is still open. Although not all of the buildings are open, they kept a few of the buildings open for now. It is a juvie hall.
Oh, that's good. That's
mentally,
where you put the kids.
Yeah, put them in there. I hope there's not a bunch of ghosts and lunatics in there.
Yeah,
that they
it's
have
a
to
home
deal with.
For violently, violent mentally ill children.
It reminds me of the kid. What was that? Sometimes They Come Back.
Stephen King movie.
Yeah,
yeah, that one was great.
Nothing but greasers in leather jackets go into this damn reform school.
Yeah, the beginning of American Horror Story Season 2, where it's just like, you know, Chloe 70s everywhere, just going like, "You want to fuck me? I'll fuck you." And then like guys just being like, "Hey, you better not touch my water bottle because." It's full of my semen. I got away from me. Flipping a quarter.
So you were upset people were drinking your water.
It's my water semen.
So you came in it, but you're drinking it.
Oh, you bet I am. I like locally produced water.
Well, that is just your own semen.
It's local to me.
That is your own cum you're drinking.
So it's said that satanic rituals were also held in the basement of Tauntaun State Hospital.
Again, they said, why not?
They said that the staff performed these satanic rituals on the patients. They say there are unexplained markings on the wall. And at night, they say that there is a shadow man who haunts the halls of Tauntaun State Prison.
Very fun.
Or not state prison, Tauntaun Hospital for the Mentally Ill.
Well, it could just be a janitor that nobody knows his name. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that could be the Shadow Man.
Let's just call him a Shadow Man.
That's Shadow Man.
Also held a very famous inmate. It held Jane Tappan, who was a female serial killer, killed at least 31 people. She was the one that said, "I wanted to kill more people, helpless people, than any other man or woman who ever lived." She was a nurse.
So that's a good
job to get into.
Great.
Certainly not like a soldier. You know what I mean? There's like things you can do.
Well, I mean, women weren't allowed to be on the front lines. You know, the front lines of her war were in the nurse category of life. And if you do want to be a serial killer, as a matter of fact, countless serial killers, there's with the doctor over there in the UK who killed 77 people. Shipman. I mean, being a nurse is a great.
It's a perfect way to kill people.
Yeah. I mean, it's a boring way to kill people, though. You just give them a bunch of morphine and they die.
Yeah, but it's about just killing people. That's what it's about. These are not people that are, like, you know, turning them into, like, human mannequins. You know what I mean?
Right,
they're not, like, trying to make dolls that look like their mother out of them. They're just wanting to see them go,
thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
There's also the Bridgewater State Hospital for the Criminally Insane. That held Albert DeSalvo,
the Boston Strangler.
There's also the Old Colony Correctional Center, which in a state, I didn't know this, Massachusetts has more prison inmate suicides than any other state. And out of that, prisoners at Old Colony Correctional in the Bridgewater Triangle are three times more likely to commit suicide.
I mean, they're also
prisoners
in Boston.
Anywhere else.
Yeah. Massachusetts is a bad state.
I mean, it's a rough place to be, and especially when you're in the loony bin like that.
Yeah. One guy hung himself. No, this is just a prison. One guy hung himself by a bedsheet 6 months earlier. Another inmate took a razor to his femoral artery and neck. More recently, another one suffocated himself with a plastic bag. Another one hung himself after being denied his antipsychotic.
Well, that's the problem, is he was denied his antipsychotic medication.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's a thing you got to take all the time.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're psychotic. Yeah. This is the anti-psychotic.
And here's some
it
other.
It seems like this the whole prison is like run by Dan Aykroyd's character, where he was just selling like a bag. It's a bag of glass for the kids to play with. You know, how are they getting razor blades? And maybe we should stop making our bed sheets into nooses before we give them to all the prisoners.
Yeah, just like, we have to cancel that noose tying class in the adult education section of the prison.
Well, I just thought it was important they learned a craft.
And here's some other weird, like, this is just kind of like, to wrap it up a little bit, here's some very strange, other strange small things from the Bridgewater Triangle. One, three of P.T. Barnum's most famous circus freaks came from the Bridgewater Triangle.
Really? And they're all well-adjusted.
Including Tom Thumb and the human skeleton.
Yeah, which is just a skinny guy and a short guy.
Yeah.
Well, no, Tom Thumb, he was like a foot and a half tall, and the human skeleton was super skinny. Like,
very
thin.
Maybe it was a puckwudgie. Maybe that's what we're talking about.
Oh,
maybe
my
there's
God.
A whole fucking village in here.
Oh, no, come see the puckwudgie down here at the local crazy tent.
In 1906, the bones of a giant were discovered in Middleborough.
There were no Kissels over there, right?
No Kissels.
No, the Kissels hadn't landed here yet.
No, the Kissels are still ramping up to the 1940s.
Well,
back in Germany.
And the jokes.
Living the fat life. Yeah. You know, just like drinking champagne out of a Jew's skull.
Well, a Jewish person's skull, please. Thank you.
In Bridgewater Triangle, they found alligators, seals, emus, peacocks, seals. Cows, moose, bears, panthers, and mountain lions.
Interesting.
Yeah, quite a menagerie out there.
That's amazing. It's like a zoo. It's like Michael Jackson's house over there.
Is this what that movie was about? We bought a zoo? Is that what this is all about? The Bridgewater Triangle?
So this is just, in terms of concentrated activity.
I've got more.
Oh, all right, okay. Here we go.
The Bridgewater Triangle is host to the world's only shovel museum.
Shovel Museum?
Jesus Christ. Oh, that should be down in Washington, D.C. for how much BS they're making down there.
You know, they're piling it on. What do you learn at the Shovel Museum?
Things about shovels.
All right. This is a birdseed shovel. If there happens to be piles of birdseed, you'd use a birdseed shovel.
It looks just like the snow shovel.
This looks like a chair, but in fact, it's a shovel. It's called a chair shovel. And over here, this is the Brenda Whitman shovel. It's
that's a woman.
From that. No, this is, her name is Brenda Whitman, but she can carry a lot in her big arms. She's quite the shovel.
So you just look at everything and call it a shovel.
Yeah,
is that
you're quite a good-looking shovel. You got on here on your shirt. There,
you know, I am a person. I paid good money to come here, and I don't want to become a shovel.
We got a couple of heaps of stuff that we need to transport from one heap to another, and they're just a shovel I've been looking for.
It's like a terrible version of the movie Waxworks, where
it's just like you go to
instead of getting made into wax, you're made into a
the
shovel.
Food area, and it's just like shovels filled with iced coffee and stuff, and like people are getting all over themselves, and you're like, you know, I'm really into the novelty of it, but I just keep cutting my lips on the sharp edges of these shovel cups.
It's just impractical to use a shovel for everything. Anyway. But
not everything that has come from the Bridgewater Triangle has been horrible.
See, Shovel Museum.
Well, no, there's still one more thing that is fantastic that we can all appreciate. The Bridgewater Triangle is home to the chocolate chip cookie. Which was invented in the happiest of accidents.
What was the accident? There were
just some chocolate fell into some dough.
I was trying to murder my family, but I accidentally, I'm a baker, and I accidentally, while I was looking for the big knife, I swept a bunch of chocolate chips into some old dough I had.
And I said, messed it up, but, you know, the cookies had to get made.
Boy, I really puckwudgied this one up, guys.
Oh, man.
Get out of here, puckwudgie. This is like, he's wearing a chocolate chip as a hat.
Well, I'm going to make you a shovel, puckwudgie.
Don't take my hat.
Oh, my goodness.
Get out of here, puckwudgie.
Get out of here, puckwudgie. And I believe we have to get out of here.
That's the
Bridgewater Triangle.
It's an incredible story. Look up the Bridgewater Triangle documentary. They have a mini documentary on YouTube. It's really interesting. Look at all the dumb shit that's attached to it. Mm. I love the local paranormal ghost-like guys getting together and searching for it from Boston.
If a puckwudgie watches a mini documentary, do they think it's a full documentary? Because they do time so differently.
It's just a bunch of people with malformed bodies.
Yeah. It's a medical condition.
It's a medical everything.
Sad. All right, everybody. Well, thank you.
Join the Facebook group.
That's right. And then that's Marcus Parks on Twitter. I'm Ben Kissel, and that's Henry Loves You on Twitter, so that's kind of nice.
Following. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. Hail yourselves.
Hail Keen.
Hail me!
And Magustalations.
That's
right.
Hey, go frump yourself, ladies.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
You just don't even look at me.